When you give them the Word of God will never come back void. And I believe that Mary and Joseph were faithful parents to Jesus. Not that Jesus needed to know. He had all knowledge. He was God. But they took their responsibility, even to the point of taking him to the Passover time, even to go to Jerusalem.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul and his wife Sharon have raised three sons who all love the Lord Jesus, and now they're active role models of faith for their grandkids. If you'd like inspiration to create a strong spiritual legacy for your family, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com, or for a free DVD of Raul's story, call 800-634-9165. We're glad to have you along for our continuing focus on the person and work of Christ. Today, as Raul explores the Bible's soul glimpse of Jesus as an older child, you'll be encouraged to follow his parents' example and the spiritual guidance of your children. You'll also see that even though we'll never fully understand Jesus this side of heaven, like Christ's own parents, we can choose to trust that he truly is the Son of God. Here's Raul Reese now with the lesson, The Early Days of Jesus. Join us in Luke chapter 2, verse 39.
Here we see the unity of Mary and Joseph as Mary and Joseph are going to Jerusalem and they're going to go to the Passover. And they're going as husband and wife and they bring along Jesus with them. And somehow, in the time of Passover, as they're coming back after the 7th and 8th day and 14 days later, they're coming back, somehow Jesus gets lost. And they don't even notice it until 3 days later. And they go back to get Jesus and they find him instructing the lawyers and the teachers in the temple. Pretty amazing story. Let's read it and then we'll come back and expound on it. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 39. He says, so when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to the Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. That is, they're coming back, and of course, they live in Nazareth. Nazareth was a very dirty place. Even when you go today, there, Nazareth is known in past times for drunkenness. There's a lot of alcoholics there in Nazareth. But here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says in verse 40, and then the child grew and became strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So we see that here the Holy Spirit is telling us that Jesus was not just an ordinary man. But you can see the hand of God in the life of Jesus even as a child. How the Lord here, it says he became strong in spirit, spiritually, and then filled with all wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The hand of God was upon him. The divine will of God upon the life of Christ. Nothing in the Bible is by coincidence. Everything is divinely appointed by God. And so we see that in this great story. Verse 41. And then his parents went to Jerusalem every year on the feast of Passover. Josephus, the historian, tells us that during Passover time, there would be about 2 million people that would come to Jerusalem for the Passover. And they would come to celebrate. And they would come to give their sacrifices. They would bring their doves. And they would bring their lambs. And they would bring their goats. But the problem is that the majority of the people that would come to Jerusalem were poor people. They could not afford a lamb or a goat. They were very expensive. So the poor man's sacrifice was a dove. And that was a sacrifice of Joseph and Mary. So we know that Jesus grew up in a poor home. His parents were very poor. They were not rich. And then as they went to the Passover, verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, They went up to the Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. So at the age of 12 years old, among the Jews, especially the young Jews, not only do they become adults, that's an age where there's a change in the male, where at 8 days after the birth of a male child, they circumcise him. But at the age of 12, they have the bar mitzvah, which the father brings him and the mother, and they go through the rites of reading the Torah, which means a 12-year-old, believe it or not, has to read all five books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy by memory. Imagine that. They memorize it. And yet, it brings up a point for us tonight. It takes us back to what? It takes us back to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6, where especially the male of the home had a responsibility to do what? To teach his child about the things of God. That is, the mother and father had to have devotions with their children. I think it's important for parents not to neglect their duty in the home, especially in teaching their children the things about God. When you give them the Word of God will never come back void. And I believe that Mary and Joseph were faithful parents to Jesus. Not that Jesus needed to know. He had all knowledge. He was God. But they took their responsibility, even to the point of taking him to the Passover time, even to go to Jerusalem. And this is where we find Christ now. Verse 42. And then when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days as they were returning, the boy Jesus lingered behind them in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. Now, how can you lose track of your son? Somehow, they thought that maybe Jesus was ahead of the caravan with friends. Because they didn't even notice that Jesus wasn't there until 2 days later. And by the third day, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And they found him in the temple doing the father's business. You see, this was a lesson for Mary and Joseph. Where Jesus was always in preparation. Preparing for that day when he would die on the cross. And here we have him as Mary and Joseph now don't find him. He's vanished. Verse 44. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. The Jews would travel about 12 miles a day and then they would camp. Verse 45. And so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. And now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them, and notice, and asking them questions. Imagine that. Can you imagine Jesus asking these guys questions? Jesus knew all the answers. They didn't know that. They must have been amazed at the knowledge and the wisdom of this 12-year-old boy that was a son of God. And yet, they still did not recognize that he was a son of God, even in his childhood. And so, Jesus here is demonstrating and illustrating that the temple is a place of worship, a place of learning about God. This is his first visit now, as he comes to the temple to visit among them and to speak with them and to share with them concerning all the things that the Father had given him to do. Notice what else he says there. It's pretty interesting. Verse 47. And when they heard him, they were astonished at his understanding and answers. They couldn't figure him out. I mean, why does this little kid know so much? And yet, in the knowledge and the wisdom that we saw in verse 40, he grew strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Who was directing his life? The Father. Not Joseph, the Father. Not Mary, the Father had his hand upon Jesus the whole time. And I think that as we look at the life of Christ, especially starting with John the Baptist, we're going to begin to see that Jesus not only was a special person, but he was the God that we must serve. The God that we must never deny. The God that not only created the heavens and the earth and spoke them into being, but the God that brings redemption through himself as he grows up and he goes to the cross to die for the sins of the world. Imagine that. That's what Jesus Christ did. And that's what Jesus Christ continues to do in this world that is so dark and without hope and without God in this world. And yet, he continues to pour out his Holy Spirit. And yet, there are so many people today that can sit and turn on the radio, listen to a message, or even watch a Christian video or whatever it may be, and yet, at the same time, a little bit of emotional feeling their hearts, and yet by the time the message is over, walk out cold as a rock and totally neglect and totally reject Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's exactly what sin does to a person's life. Especially when people live deeply in sin, the devil doesn't want anybody to come to the knowledge of the truth. But he wants to keep you away from the truth. And yet these men, they were supposed to be the rabbis or the spiritual leaders of the time. Here is Jesus at 12 years old, speaking to them, asking them questions, and they in turn marvel because of the kind of questions that he was asking them. Look what else he says about them. And all that heard him, verse 47, were astonished at his understanding and answers. And so when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, "Son, why have you done this to us?" Imagine, Mary comes into the temple in the presence of the rabbis and in a little way rebukes Jesus, tries to discipline Jesus. Look what else it says. He says, "Look, your father and I have sought you very anxiously." And then he said unto them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Hey, mom, don't you understand what's happening here? I mean, you've had me for 12 years, Mary. What do we see here? We see the humanness of Mary. She's a human being. She's right here with Christ. And we see the concern of a mother for her child. But at the same time, Jesus is not dealing with the physical, he's dealing with the spiritual. Don't you understand, mother, that I must be about my father's business? And what is that? The kingdom of God. Eternity. That's what Jesus was doing. That was the whole matter of the teaching that he had here concerning himself. Now, when we think of Jesus Christ and all that he did and all that he is, we must understand one thing, that there is nothing by coincidence that he ever did. And when we think of everything that he has done, in the scripture, we find him with a title indicating that Christ not only was the Son of Man, human, but we see the title of him becoming deity as the Son of God. And that's what Mary and Joseph should have learned. That he was God. He was doing what the Father had sent him to do out of all eternity. Being in the house of the Lord. When we talk about Jesus becoming the Son of God, descriptive of Christ, first of all, we see him as eternally begotten of the Father. In Psalm 2:7, it says this, David, "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you." Notice that. In the Psalms, 750 years before he was born, the psalmist already proclaimed eternally begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. Secondly, we see him as the Messiah King. In Psalm 89, 26, 27, it says, David said, "He shall cry to me, 'You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation.' Also, I will make him first my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth." In reference to who? To Jesus Christ. The highest of all created beings. And then thirdly, we see him virgin born, just like the Bible had said. He says in Luke 1:31, 32, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said unto the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" So what is he saying? From the beginning of time, Mary should have known. Gabriel spoke to her and told her the whole situation. And then the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." You see, predicted, prophesied, and fulfilled and completed by Christ. And then fourthly, as the Trinity member of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 28:19, he said, "Go you therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." We see the triunity of God in the Son, in the Father, and with the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus himself also as priest and king. Dual fulfillment. Hebrews 1:8. "But to the Son he says, 'Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom.'" Notice that. Even God the Father calls Jesus God the Son. So it's so incredible to see how in the scriptures it's so correctly. Then secondly, the belief in Christ as the Son of God. First of all, as derived from the scriptures, how do we see it? In John 31, we have the best description. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The greatest scripture written concerning the life that Jesus Christ will give to you if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then secondly, it is of importance and necessary for eternal life that we believe that Jesus is God. John 3:18 and 36. "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then in verse 36, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him." Notice that. There's no other way for salvation but through Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, he is a source of eternal life to us. John 6:40. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Giving us assurance of the resurrection if we believe in Jesus Christ. And then he's the source and the foundation of our faith. In Acts 9:20, Paul said, "Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." And then fifthly, the affirmation of deity in 1 John 2, 23-24. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. You see, the Father and the Son are equal. And then thirdly, the powers of Christ as the Son of God. Number one, have life in himself. He said in John 5:26, as the Father has life in himself, so has granted the Son to have life in himself. The same life that the Father has been given to the Son. Secondly, he reveals the Father through the Son. Matthew 11:27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except through the Son. And the one to whom the Son wills reveals himself. You see? So when they saw Jesus, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. For I am in the Father, and we are one. And then lastly, he says that he's redeemed man through his Son. Galatians 4:4-5. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. If it wasn't for the Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ, you and I would not be sons and daughters of God. But we are. How? By being born again of the Holy Spirit.
We pray that you've been encouraged today to see that you can put your full trust in the Lord Jesus as the divine Son of God. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to hear today's program again, we'll send you an unedited copy for a gift of any amount. Our phone number is 800-634-9165, and today's lesson is titled, The Early Days of Jesus. Well, as you ponder your responsibility to share the truth about Christ with your children, we'd like to equip you with a resource titled, Jesus Christ, His Person, His Work. It's a 4-CD series from Raul that provides additional insight into the mission and identity of Jesus. As you explore Christ's miraculous virgin birth and examine how he could be both fully man and fully God, you'll see how Jesus truly is the only one qualified to save the world from sin. Get in touch with us to purchase Raul's CD series titled, Jesus Christ, His Person, His Work. We'll send you this resource for a gift of $19 or more when you visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Well, our ongoing mission is to support your spiritual journey with truth from God's Word, and we hope you'll take advantage of all of the free Somebody Loves You resources. Every program is available to download as podcast through Spotify and iTunes. And for your added convenience, we now have a free phone app that's downloadable on both iPhones and Androids. Finally, Raul and Sharon would like to invite you to join them for an epic spiritual adventure next spring as you retrace the steps of Christ in the Holy Land. This is truly a life-changing opportunity you won't want to miss. Start planning and saving now to experience the 2020 Israel Tour, featuring a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee, an afternoon of contemplation in the Garden of Gethsemane, communion near Jesus' empty tomb, and much more. The dates for this 11-day journey back through time are April 25th through May 5th. To find out more, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com and click on the Israel Tour 2020 link. Don't forget, Somebody Loves You Radio is funded solely through listeners like you, and your tax-deductible donations help keep us on the air. Well, on behalf of all of us at Somebody Loves You Radio, we hope you have a wonderful weekend. We'll worship with fellow believers on Sunday, and join us again on Monday as we continue our verse-by-verse study of the life of Christ. You'll be moved by God's gift of a Savior who knows firsthand what it feels like to have the pain and frailty of life in an earthly body. Now, here's Raul once again to close out today's program.
So now we can kind of get an idea of what Jesus was talking about to the what? To the priest, to the rabbis, as he was dealing with the Father. And yet they marveled at him. They couldn't believe that he was asking such questions. And then when Mary and Joseph came and found him, Mary kind of a little bit rebuked him. And then he turns around and he says again in verse 49, he said unto them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Yet they live with Jesus. They were bringing up Jesus, and yet they did not understand. And you know what? I have to confess, I don't understand a lot of things either. But one day, he's going to reveal to us all knowledge. Everything we shall be known, even as he is known. And I believe that Jesus here loves Joseph and loves Mary. But this is really the last time that we'll see Mary and Joseph. And this is the last time that we will hear from teenage Jesus, 12 years old, and we will never hear from him again until the age of 30 years of age, when he comes as an adult and he presents himself as the Son of God. I am falling
in love with you. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.